In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of the Great Lent, and it is the middle of the Great Lent. And the Church takes us on a journey through the Great Lent, which we call it the joyful journey, through the reading of the Sundays. Because during the Great Lent, there is a special readings which center every week about the reading of Sunday. And every Sunday has a theme which are linked in this journey. Started from the Sunday before the starting, which we call it the preparatory Sunday, where the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about fasting as a part of worship. So he spoke about the three pillars of worship: fasting, prayer, and giving, or do charitable deeds. And he focused that is all this kind of worship to be directed to God, not to people. That's why he spoke about the hypocrites. And the first Sunday defined the goal of this journey: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in any journey, there are difficulties. That's why in the second Sunday, to show us the way of victory and overcoming through the temptation which the Lord faced. But also in the journey, there are also some people who succeed and some people who fail. And the third Sunday was about the failure of the two sons and how one returned, the younger one, and the other one, we don't know whether he repented or not. But it showed us two kinds of failure in the journey. That is the one who was in his father's house, and then he asked for his share of money, and he left. And the other one, he didn't leave, but he remained in his father's house, but he was away from his father, from spiritually, if I might say, even he was there physically. This Sunday is telling us, so in the third Sunday, it shows us the repentance and the power of the repentance. This Sunday is speaking about another kind of people who are not in the house, either remained or left, but they are from outside. And how, even for the outsides, God reaching out to bring them in. And this Samaritan woman, and also the Samaritans. The Samaritan woman was the model of the Samaritans, and through her conversions and how she turned to be a preacher or evangelist, and she went and told the people of the Samaria about our Sychar, and they came and asked the Lord to stay. And after he stayed, they believed themselves. This reading, which is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4, it's also read during the Holy 50. So we have this story on the fourth Sunday of the Great Lent and in the third Sunday of the Holy 50. And the Church looked to it in different perspectives. During the Great Lent, in the perspective of repentance and the return to God. And the Holy 50 in the perspective of the joy, because in the Holy 50 we rejoice with our risen Christ, and the reading of the Holy 50 to reveal to us the various aspects of our risen Lord. And it focuses on the Holy 50, that is the meeting, how this woman, the Samaritan woman, when she met the Lord, her life turned and rejoiced. The joy which was the end of this story for this woman and also for the Samaritans when they received the Lord. But let me focus today about how the Lord reached out to this woman and how that is our mission as a church, is not only to focus on those who in the house, but also those who are outside. Even if there are many barriers, when we read this story, and when in the beginning of the meeting between this woman and the Lord, it was a difficult meeting. It was not an easy thing. And because there were many barriers between both of them. The first one is the ethnic barrier. The Lord came in flesh as a Jew. And she was a Samaritan, and there was enmity between both of them from ethnic point of view. Going back to the history, when the Samaritan originally was among the Jews, but they mixed it with the Gentiles, and that's why the Jewish people, they don't consider them as pure Jews. So that's why there was an enmity. But even among the Jews, the word Samaritan is insult. If they want to insult someone, to call it, you are a Samaritan, as they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is, and it is also, of course, any action lead to reaction. And they reacted by the same thing, the Samaritan people. And that's why, while in another occasion, while the Lord Jesus Christ was crossing, because the Samaria and geography is between Judea in the south and the Galilee on the north. And the Lord used to go through from Judea to Galilee. So he have to cross Samaria. And in one occasion, they refused even allow him to go through. And that's why the disciple asked him to ask for a fire to come and to punish these people, but he refused to do so. That's so how that even this woman, when he asked her just for a drink, she was surprised. How you as a Jew ask me for a drink, something to drink? And she said, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan. Even with this simple things, if you find someone in the desert near the well and thirsty and want just to drink some water, it is just a very basic gesture to give them, even if he is your enemy. But this is to show to you the degree of enmity between the Samaritan and the Jews. And the Lord Jesus Christ, they show the Jews in the many occasions about the Samaritan. He gives the good Samaritan as an example to show them, even among these people, there are good people. There are among them, there are good peoples. And also for the one, those who were healed from leprosy, and the one who came to thank, he was a Samaritan. So it was the ethnic barrier. But behind this ethnic barrier, so another more serious barrier is the religious one. Because it's not a barrier of ethnicity, but these people, they have a different belief. They deviated like heretics from the Jew. So they don't accept in the Old Testament except the five books of Moses. So they don't accept the Samaritan. Any other prophets came after Moses. And not only that, but they built their own temple in the mountain of Gerizim. That's why she asked the Lord about where to worship. You know, that is in Judaism, the temple to have only one temple. There are many synagogues, but only one temple, and this temple to be in Jerusalem and at the Mount of Zion. But they built their own temple, and so people not to go to Jerusalem. And this temple was destroyed in year 128 before Christ. So it did not exist at the time of Christ, but still the debate continued. And they were waiting, because they're waiting for what Moses said about that God will send you a prophet like me. the Messiah. So they consider the Messiah, that is what the Moses mentioned to them about the one who come. That's why she asked about the Messiah will tell us the answer about where to worship. So it was also this, that's why the Jews, they consider them as heretics, because they don't, as I said, they have a different belief. They're also, if it is a moral or the spiritual, I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy One meeting with this woman with all the history, which was revealed as a sinful woman, even living in sin. Another one, which was a cultural at that time, is the gender barrier. And that's why the people, his disciple, was wonder that is he was talking with a woman. Just talking with a woman is considered something yani, strange at that time. So all this barrier existing, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he could bridge or break this barriers. How? This is a question which you want to learn from him. Number one, he reached out to her. He was waiting, and she came in the middle of the day because of her bad reputation. She didn't want to come early because people at that time to draw water from the well usually early in the morning, not in the middle of the day. No one come to draw water at the middle of the day because of the hot weather. So most of the women come usually to come early to draw water, but she want to avoid to be with any bunch who she came in this time. But the Lord was waiting for her, and he started the conversation. Give me a drink. He reached out to her to ask her to give him something to, of course, ask to, he said by the will, to ask for her to give him water to drink. Secondly, he was very patient and kind with her, because the first response could be the end of the discussion. That is, she said no. And even she said, how do you dare to ask for that? Not only no, but even how to dare to ask for these things. And then he continued to speak about the living water. But she mocked him. Yani she didn't believe it. Yani you're telling us about a living water? How you can give this water? Even you cannot bring water for yourself. And there is a deep well, and you don't have anything to draw water, and you are talking about a living water. And also she said, how is speaking about water better than this water, which have a special, because it was not just a normal well, but a normal which is Jacob gave to him. But the Lord continued to talk to her about what he was talking about was a different things. And she started to listen. Started to listen. Yani sometimes when we be patient and continue the discussion and not to respond in a personal way as she did. But he continued to reveal for her. And she started to think of it, why not to take this water? If there is something water like this, you can drink of it and you don't be thirsty. So it is a good idea. So she said, okay, let us try. Give me of this water. Then he started to touch the sensitive point. Go and call your husband. And she responded, maybe without thinking, that is, I don't have a husband. And this was a turning point. The turning point when it touched the sensitive point or the things which everyone has inside him or herself, some sensitive points, something experience, problem in life, whatever it happened in deep in the person. And this was a deep point in her life. And the Lord touched it in a very gentle way. She said, I don't have a husband. And he, of course, he knows, knew about her life by his divinity and his power. And he could answer, because what you consider what she said is a lying. One living with a man, had five husbands before, and saying, I have no husband. You can take it both ways. You can take it as a lying, and you can take it as literally what she said is true. Even the truth is worse. Because I have no husband could be as a virgin, or could be what she was. So you can take it either way. But the Lord, he took it in a way she's saying something true, but not saying the truth. There's a difference between saying something true and saying the truth, because it is not the truth. But what she said is true, but the truth is different than what she wants to say. So that's why, and he focused on the positive part. This is the way how you can win people. If you find many dark things, it's very dark, just try to find spot, even tiny spot, and focus on it. And out of all this discussion which she had with him, with him, but he built on this. He started by the positive things. You said well. How to be well? And he said, you said well, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have is not your husband. This you have said truthfully. She was not confessing. Because if she wanted to confess, then she continue, I have no husband, but I living with one who is not my husband. This is a confession. But she said part of it, and the Lord built on it, and even added to it. But he avoided to say to her, you are truthful or faithful or any adjective of this way, because she was not. But what she said was right. And then she was touched with this. How he did know this. And that's why she said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. But she followed in her tricky ways, just want to escape. She changed the subject. She changed the subject, and she started to speak about something else. Something else which about worship, as if as theologian now, we go to theology, for where to worship, to avoid to speaking about her life. And that's why she said, I perceive you are a prophet. She said, I perceive you are a prophet because you told me about my history or my life. So I am now confessing. But she said, no. Our father worshipped in this mountain. Now tell me. And you, Jews, you say Jerusalem is the place where people should worship. So the Lord could answer, why are you speaking about worship? It is important for you who work to worship while you are living. It's this kind of life. But he continued with her. He answered her questions. He told her, woman, believe me, a time is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and the now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and the truth. And He spoke about worship in spirit and truth. Then she told him, I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And even she didn't be convinced of the answer. And he gave her the answer. But she said to him, no, we wait for the Messiah to tell us the answer. Because that's what the Samaritan was waiting for. Still just stubborn in the in her thinking about the difference between her or her belief and what she see the Lord as a Jew. Then the Lord revealed himself to her, and this was the turning point. When she said, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. And at this point, she left her jar, his put, and went, which symbolized her changing or her life. So we learn from this to be patient, to be gentle, to focus on the positive points, and also not to attack the person personally, but at the same to be very frank to tell the truth. The Lord told her about her life, told her about the truth, where to worship. He didn't compromise. He didn't cover anything just to win her. It's very clear. But whatever we do to convince people, without their heart to be touched by knowing the Lord, then there is no change. So that's why the key point here, and that is when she discovered him. She discovered who is Jesus for her. And that's why she went and telling the people, come and see. Man, he told me about everything. So he started to believe in him, not as a man, as a Jew, just talking with, but to see in him a different way. To be revealed to him his divinity, the power of his divinity. And this is the way which we can win people to Christ, to let them know Christ, to have a personal relationship. When she went to tell the Samaritan, she spoke about her personal experience. And the Samaritan, when they accepted to have him, they said at the end, now we believe, not because of what you said, but because we have heard for ourselves. Now they have also their personal experience. So when you meet someone, don't argue with him or her so much about who is Christ, but let him or her to discover who is Christ by themselves. To read the Gospels. To read the Gospel with a spirit of prayer, then the Lord will reveal himself. And many people who came to the Lord because they met him personally. And this personal meeting, it changed their life. So it's not the only intellectual things, but in their life. That's why in the story of Saint Polycarpus, the great saint and martyrs, when the governor asked him to blaspheme against Christ and to deny him, he said, how can I deny my king? For this over 8 years, he never did anything wrong for me. Why I deny him? So he spoke out of this personal experience. And that's why you find a simple people, they defend their faith, not intellectually, but because of their experience, because the faith in their heart. And this is the message of today. The message of today, we ourselves be stronger in faith if we have this personal experience. And we can win people if we lead them to have also to meet the Lord. And meeting the Lord, because he is the Lord, he can change people. But we have to follow the step of the Lord Jesus Christ of reaching out, not to limit what we know to ourselves or to only to those inside the church, inside the house, but also to look for people, many people, even there are many barriers separate us from them or separate them from us, but they still, they are children of God, and we have to reach out for them and to overcome all the barriers which are existing, but to reach out, to be patient, to be kind and gentle, but also to be frank, not to compromise, but to focus on the positive things, even they are small, and to build on this positive thing to overcome the negative thing. So may the Lord Jesus Christ, who reached out to this Samaritan woman and the Samaritans to help us to know him personally and also to present him to those whom we meet and reach out to. And the glory be to God now and forever. Amen.
We want to thank you so much for listening to St. Basil's podcast. We hope that you have gained spiritually from our remarkable speakers, and we appreciate your support towards this podcast. St. Basil American Coptic Orthodox Church is looking to purchase a home, and we would love for you to be a part of our community. We are looking to raise funds towards this novel mission, Orthodoxy in an American Context within the San Diego area. You may donate online through our website, www.stbasil.net, that's www.stbasil.net, or click on the link below and it will take you to our donations page. You may also mail in your contribution at the address located on our website. We thank you for any contribution, and may our Lord Jesus Christ always bless your heart and home.